You're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. Our program is produced weekly in sunny Sarasota, Florida at WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station. Listen live on the radio, on the internet, on your smartphone, or at your convenience through our downloadable podcast at maternallyyoursradio.com.
Our mission is to support our listeners in growing empowered families that create empowered communities. Each week, we bring you evidence-based information for your journey through the childbearing years. We do not give medical advice, and with all subjects, we suggest that you thoroughly research your options and speak with an appropriate expert with whom you have a relationship of mutual trust and respect.
The voices you'll hear in the next hour belong to the Maternally Yours Collective and our guests, and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of this radio station, its board of directors, or station management. The conversation may include descriptive language or emotionally sensitive subject matter. We respect all families and understand that it is up to each of us to make the most informed choice possible. We are Maternally Yours.
We are Maternally Yours.
We are Maternally Yours. Welcome to the conversation.
Welcome to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. I'm Dana King, domestic goddess and mama to Elliot, maternal mental health advocate and cesarean education supporter. And next to me tonight, we welcome guest co-host Abby Weingarten. Abby is a freelance journalist, a feminist, a BDB fan, wife, mother to the totally rad Miranda, who is 5 years old. Thanks for being here, Abby.
Thanks for inviting me to join the fun, Dana. I'm excited to be here.
Get closer. Okay. Mr. Microphone. So in addition to hearing us live on WSLR each and every Tuesday, you can also hear us on WOL 91.5 FM in Bellows Falls, Vermont, KPOV 88.9 FM in Bend, Oregon, WCRS 102.1 and 98.3 FM in Columbus, Ohio, the Detour Network in East Tennessee, and Geneva Community Radio in the Finger Lakes region of New York State. So check your local listings for our time slot, and as always, find us online at maternallyyoursradio.com or on iTunes now. So now here's some
birth in the news.
So the state of Indiana, everybody get ready. Indiana, the place where all crazy things are happening right now. I don't even really know what else there is to say about that, except it's a little crazy time in Indiana right now, everybody. Okay, so the state of Indiana has sentenced Purvi Patel to 41 years in prison for feticide and neglect of a dependent after experiencing a pregnancy loss. She told healthcare workers that she had a miscarriage but did not bring the fetal remains with her, having already disposed of them. Hospital staff contacted law enforcement with suspicion based off of her supposedly lack of tears and texting a friend for support. Later, these texts were used as key evidence, supposedly pointing towards Patel's ambivalence toward her pregnancy. She was later charged for two seemingly mutually exclusive crimes, neglect of a dependent and feticide, each punishable by decades of jail time. Along with the opinions of Patel's demeanor, as witnessed by the hospital staff, discredited evidence was used in Patel's conviction. If Patel's conviction is upheld on appeal, many more women can expect police interrogation after stillbirth. Birth or miscarriage, even at the earliest weeks of pregnancy. So to tell us more about this case, we have Farah Diaz-Tello calling in. Farah is senior staff attorney with the National Advocates for Pregnant Women. She is also a graduate of the City University of New York School of Law, where she was a Hayward Burns Fellow in Civil and Human Rights and focused on international women's human rights and reproductive justice. Welcome back, Farah. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay, thanks so much for calling in on the fly.
Yeah, I'm glad to be with you, although very sorry for the circumstances that gave rise to it.
Agreed. We understand that you've been working closely with this case. And abortion is legal here in the United States, yet this woman is facing a really serious sentence for the loss of a pregnancy. Can you tell us why and how is it possible for women to be facing legal action and serious charges for pregnancy outcomes?
Sure. So, I mean, I guess first I should start out by saying that a very common myth that we've heard for a long time from folks who want to make abortion a crime again is this idea that if abortion becomes a crime, it's not a crime that women commit, that women are victims of the crime of abortion, and so they wouldn't be prosecuted. It would only be the doctors who perform abortions. And, you know, a lot has changed since the days before Roe versus Wade when abortion was a crime. And, in fact, when abortion was a crime, and in the states where there still are provisions on the books, it was a misdemeanor. People, you know, a misdemeanor means that nobody would go to jail for more than a year. And what has changed in the interim between that time and now is that 38 states have laws on the books that charge harm to the unborn as a form of homicide. So now that, you know, Indiana has taken this really unprecedented step of saying that a woman whom they believe to have aborted her own pregnancy has committed a felony offense, a homicide crime. We've seen lots of other women at National Advocates for Pregnant Women. We've defended lots of other women who have been charged with crimes because of the outcome of their pregnancy. But this is the first time where they have really, you know, it's been based on the theory that she was trying to abort her pregnancy, which is, in fact, that's not consistent with her version, which we take at her word, which is that she experienced a pregnancy loss of a pregnancy that she was ambivalent about and a pregnancy that she was hiding. And this is something that happens to a lot of people. And because she didn't feel sufficiently sorry about it when she was in the hospital, all of this was used against her, as you mentioned, in the proceedings, her text messages to her friends. The fact that she was texting and was seeking support from her friend made her, you know, they said that she was distracted and didn't care enough. So this is really, you know, what it looks like when pregnancy is on trial.
Ugh, very, very, very ugly. Can you briefly explain to our listeners why Puri Patel's charges are considered contradictory? That's been said a lot in all the articles that are circulating right now about the case.
Yeah, so the charge of feticide requires a certain outcome, and the certain outcome is a dead fetus, right? So either a miscarriage or a stillbirth that was caused by some action of another person, or in this case, the woman herself. And the other charge, neglect of a dependent leading to death, requires a live birth of an infant who is born alive and abandoned and permitted to die. So you can see that those two things are factually irreconcilable. Either she successfully terminated the pregnancy and had a stillbirth, or she gave birth to a live infant and, you know, left it to die. But both of those things can't be true at once. And the prosecutor, when pressed on this point, made his response was really frightening. He said that in Indiana, the crime of feticide not only encompasses the outcome of a dead fetus, but also includes any attempt to terminate a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So what this is saying to the women of Indiana is that if you even attempt to terminate a pregnancy, it doesn't matter whether or not you're successful, you can also be charged with this crime of feticide, which is a felony offense. And as we see from Ms. Patel, you can spend decades behind bars.
Yikes. I have a quote here in the article that you co-wrote for RH Reality Check. You said, quote, when pregnant women's rights to privacy, to medical care, to abortion are under attack, any woman who experiences a loss, even at the earliest weeks in pregnancy, could become a murderer in the eyes of the law. Can you elaborate a little further on why it's so scary that this precedent is now being set?
Yeah. So the feticide provisions that I mentioned that are now in 38 states, many of them apply from the very earliest moments of pregnancy. You know, they apply from the moment of conception. So if a woman were to self-induce an abortion or were to do something that police believed caused her to have a miscarriage, then it wouldn't matter how early in the pregnancy it was. She could still be charged with a homicide offense. And this is something that we know that women have been doing at all points in history, in every place in the globe. As long as women have been getting pregnant and have been having unwanted pregnancies, women have been engaging in self-help to try to end those pregnancies. And, you know, for the most part in the United States, abortion is legal in name, even though it is difficult to access. Mm-hmm. We have better access than exists in many countries. But that is changing. Abortion providers are vanishing across the country. And we know also that women are starting to learn how to take matters into their own hands through the use of misoprostol to terminate pregnancies in the early weeks when they can't access legal abortion. And so this case really stands for the proposition that those women who are taking desperate measures can be charged with crimes and with felony crimes that will keep them behind bars.
Yeah. Abby's making a really serious face at me right now. if only you could see how somber we feel right now. What can our listeners do about this?
You know, I think the most important thing is that people know that this is happening and that these laws are being used in this way. Mm-hmm. And for the people who live in the few states that don't have feticide laws, to know that this is what happens when crimes, when you create new crimes against the unborn, it's really only a matter of time until those laws are used against the women who carry pregnancies and, you know, try to carry them to term and lose them or intentionally try to end their own pregnancies. These laws, which are passed in the name of protecting pregnant women from violence and from wrongdoing, haven't been shown at all to have that effect. But what we can say, what we know for sure from our work and from our research at NAPW, is that these laws are used against pregnant women. And so, you know, this is something to consider when legislatures put forth these proposals. Stop and think about what it's going to do to the women who carry pregnancies.
Absolutely. So use your votes, ladies. It's important. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Farah. Hopefully next time we speak, it can be on better terms.
Yeah, definitely.
Have a great night.
Thank you very much for having me.
Bye-bye. Ugh, all right. A lot going on in court. So Abby's got another court case to talk about, everybody, and then maybe we can change the pace instead of frowning.
Okay, so the U.S. Supreme Court case, Young versus UPS, was concluded this week and holds important implications for women throughout the nation. The plaintiff in this case, Peggy Young, was working for UPS as a pickup and delivery driver when she became pregnant in 2006. Her doctor restricted her from lifting more than 20 pounds for the first 20 weeks of her pregnancy and 10 pounds for the remainder. UPS told Young she could not work because of the company's rule requiring the ability of its employees to lift up to 70 pounds and was placed on leave without pay to subsequently lose her employee medical coverage. Young testified that her coworkers were willing to help lift any packages over 20 pounds, and UPS at the time accommodated drivers who were injured on the job, drivers who lost their Department of Transportation certificates, and drivers who suffered from a disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act. As a result of this, Young brought a federal lawsuit against UPS under the Pregnancy Discrimination Act of 1987. The act requires that employers regard pregnant women the same for all employment-related purposes as other persons not so affected but similar in their ability or inability to work. UPS stated that the decision was non-discriminatory because it fell under their quote-unquote pregnancy blind policy, stating that the company does not take pregnancy into account. The Supreme Court disagreed with this claim, but also disagreed with Young's interpretation of the law, despite finding in her favor. However, their disagreement will likely not have much effect on the practical implications of the decision. The Pregnancy Discrimination Act is not the only law requiring the provision of accommodations to pregnant women. The 2008 amendments to the Americans with Disabilities Act extended legislation requiring provision of accommodations to pregnant women with pregnancy-related conditions that meet the definition of disability. Because of the complexity of the issue, some lawmakers are asking for clarity in the form of a federal Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. Along with this, there is evidence that providing accommodations is beneficial for business in terms of reducing employee turnover and absenteeism, as well as boosting morale and productivity.
Pete, you got any feedback over there? Anybody? Anything to say about the scary situation with pregnant women right now going on in the courts? It's not good. Not good, everybody. So if you have some births in the news to share, send it to us by email at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com, or you can post it to facebook.com/maternallyyours. And for links to all of our birth in the news stories, please visit tonight's epilogue on our website at maternallyyoursradio.com. deep breath in and out. That it's been an intense day today. Intense Tuesday morning. So let's roll into tonight's topic. We're asking you moms out there listening, can you be maternal and sexy at the same time? You know, Drew Barrymore was in the news this week. She was talking about her post-baby body and how hard it is to stay positive and love yourself. She was quoted as saying, "You feel like a kangaroo with a giant pouch. Everything's saggy and weird." I don't know about you, Abby, but or you ladies across the table here, but there's nothing like that first moment also where your child points out to you that some part of your body is perhaps squishy or jiggly. Has that happened to you, Abby?
Oh, yeah. Kids have no filter.
That's exactly right. They will tell you exactly how they feel, which can be bad sometimes. Poor moms have self-esteem too, everybody. You know, it's a dilemma not faced just by me, but millions of other women who are struggling to fit their two hugely different roles into just the one body.
Yeah. And sexy is not a word you often hear associated with motherhood. Before they give birth for the first time, women who dress up or flaunt just the right amount of cleavage or legs can be called sexy, but a mother? Well, she can be beautiful, elegant, funny, pretty, clever, hardworking, gifted, loving, kind, but sexy. We're here to tell you women the answer is a big yes. Yes, you are a hot mama, even when you don't feel like one. So to tell us about their experiences as mamas and as showgirls, we have two lovely ladies joining us tonight from Black Diamond Burlesque.
Yeah, that's right. Black Diamond Burlesque is Sarasota's premier burlesque review. Enjoy the undraped vision of loveliness and their rotating cast of characters in cabaret-style shows, performing to sold-out audiences since first hitting the stage in 2010. Black Diamond Burlesque brings the glamour of striptease and the frivolity of vaudeville to you. Step into the sexy time machine and journey back to a time of more innocent sensuality. Black Diamond Burlesque brings burlesque to the arts scene in Sarasota with full force and quite a bit of glitter. I love that intro.
Our guests tonight are Laura Daniel Gale, owner and producer of Black Diamond Burlesque, and performer Cherry Von Topp. Laura Daniel Gale is owner and producer of this troupe, who's been performing to sold-out audiences since they first hit the stage in 2010. She's also the mother to a 20-year-old son.
Oh, he's calling me right now. With his one-year-old baby picture on my phone.
So cute.
Oh, my gosh. His little radar went off. He can feel you're about to talk to him.
Perhaps.
And now Cherry Von Topp is a burlesque performer and a mother to three fabulous kids, ages 5, 7, and 8.
So hi there.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, y'all.
Yes. Head waggling. You can't hear yourself
it's
at
fine.
All over there.
Okay.
You like it. So we'll hop into a couple questions, and I'll see if I can wiggle those knobs a little bit more. Ha ha, that's not a double entendre, everybody. What? See what happens when you let all these women in one room together? So being a mom changes your body, as we know and have said, and often at the same time, it changes your opinion of whether or not you should show it off. It's a little different than being super young and smoking hot without a single stretch mark. So what do you think? Is it harder for mothers to embrace themselves unconditionally, ladies?
Oh, girl.
Well, where do I begin? I definitely think, I can speak for myself, that you could totally still be sexy and be a mom. For sure. I mean, I have stretch marks. I got a few. They faded a little bit. They weren't as hardcore as they were when I first gave birth. They faded a bit, but I feel like I'm still damn hot. So,
were you doing striptease before you had your children?
I started.
I love this. Thank you, Laura. Sorry. Go ahead. No, this is great. No, please.
Cherry is our guest star for our show this Saturday night, and we met about an hour ago, even though I've been hearing about her for years on the burlesque scene. So she's the mother of young children, so I'm very curious how she feels about it.
Well, I started doing burlesque when my youngest is a girl. My daughter, she was about 4 months old. Mm-hmm. And wow. I took advantage of those milky boobies. And I would like, you know, because I mean, I'm like, you know, now I have breast implants, so I'm a little more voluptuous than nature would have, you know, allowed me. But when I started doing burlesque, I did not have breast implants, and I had milk. And my, you know, I'd pump the night before my show.
This is so good.
And uh-huh. I'd get like all engorged, you know, the night uh-huh. of the show, I would like get myself get engorged, and I'd be all like, you know, boobalicious.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, yeah, that's when I started burlesque, I was already
so nature didn't give you the breast that you perhaps wanted, but well, in fact they did, because they delivered you the financial capability, right?
They're aftermarket. Mine are aftermarket. It was really sad. My natural boobies, after nursing 3 kids, like, you know, I nursed each kid like for 18 months each. Ah, so, I mean,
yeah, right? I'm a long time nurser too, but my baby's 20 years old. So, and these are what a lot of Padalini's pizza will do for you. Well, shout out to Padalini's on Main Street.
Pizza.
And Shamrock, you know, Selva.
Oh, man. That's great. That's great. I think Abby's got a little question for you guys.
Well, I wanted to ask first, you were talking about being able to do that when your child was 4 months old. Yeah. Did you feel at all conflicted about that? Or it sounds like you were really embracing your sexuality.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I danced professionally before I was a burlesque performer, and I've always been very body confident. But to be honest with you, before I had children, I was a professional ballerina, and I'm naturally like super skinny, like Skeletor skinny. So after I had kids, I think that kind of like slowed my metabolism down enough to where I could actually like have a little bit of like booty and thigh, you know, because before that it was just, you know, really, I was really, really skinny.
Which are body traits that are celebrated in burlesque.
Right.
Yeah. We love a little thickness in burlesque.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask, you know, the adjective wholesome is not usually used to describe burlesque. So some of the more conservative folks, I would imagine, might judge it with a kind of mothers should cover it up criticism. How would you respond to that?
This is Laura, the producer speaking, not the cherry performer speaking. But it is not wholesome. It's not. It is innocent. Given what we are bombarded with now in the media from a sexuality standpoint, burlesque, you know, at the top of the show, Dana mentioned the time machine, which is a thing that we often say about Black Diamond and burlesque as a whole, that we're taking you back to a time that is more innocent and more tantalizing than it is revealing. The girls go down to pasties and a G-string, yes, but it's a slow tease, it's a slow burn, and it feels innocent compared to what we see in the media on a daily basis now. So, no, it's not wholesome. It's naughty, and it's cheeky, and it's wild and funny, and you will be stimulated watching a show, but given the comparison to where we are now, absolutely, you know, it's got its place, and I think that that's a lot of the power of burlesque now in the kind of resurgence of it over the last 10 years or more, that people are just really responding to the fact that it feels, it looks wholesome compared to what we're dealing with now,
right.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Hmm. This is a loaded one. I like it. Abby came up with some fantastic questions, by the way, everybody. How and why, in your opinion, ladies, is burlesque an act of feminism?
I'm going for this one because
I can't wait to hear it.
When we first started, we got some negative press about burlesque being empowering. And we had to kind of come out with a level of intelligence and a level of armor, if you will, to combat what was being said. Now, part of that comes from being the first burlesque troupe and only burlesque troupe in Sarasota. But this was a number of years ago before people really experienced what we were offering. Personally, for myself, I think everything I do every moment of the day is an act of feminism.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, and that's across the board, yes, for men and women. If you act appropriately and equitably, you're a feminist.
Yeah.
Just by nature. True. So, no, burlesque is not an act of feminism. It is an act of self-expression. If you're a feminist when you get to the stage in your curlers and your robe, you're going to be a feminist when you go down to your final reveal. So, yes, it can coexist, but burlesque is so much more than just an act of feminism.
Now, what's your perspective, Cherry?
Well, you know, I have to tell you that I'd say about 80% of the people that follow me and come to my shows and are women.
Agreed.
And mm-hmm. they drag their significant yeah. other mm-hmm. along with the promise of boobies. But most of our loyal followers that who want to come and see shows and be entertained are chicks.
I totally agree. And when I started the troupe, I was so afraid we would like default to some sort of bachelor party go to. Oh, and in
right.
fact, in almost 5 years, we've had one bachelor party. There were four guys and they showed up. They all look like Ricky Ricardo. Like they were in white tuxes and slicked back hair. Aww. They were amazing. And it was just this really like elegant spin on what they wanted to do for their bachelor party. But you're absolutely right. It's women. It's girls' nights out. We mm-hmm. get a lot of older couples who appreciate the standards that we use. We use a lot of right. old jazz music, mm-hmm. A lot of live music as well. But we've got a vaudeville spin. So look, if you're going to put on a show in Sarasota, chances are you're going to have a senior group in the audience. But it is
point.
It is strongly female.
It
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah. When I've been to your shows, I've noticed the hollering coming from women. They get so excited. They're all dressed up.
Oh, yeah. They come in costume. I also offer boylesque, so I have some male dancers. Mm. And, you know, that pleases many, many different kinds of people.
So what you're saying is you've got something for everyone.
Absolutely. Always.
Are there certain aspects of burlesque that you find is empowering for, you know, in particular for the viewer and the performer?
I do. I think so. Because you know what? If you go to a burlesque show, one thing you'll know is that there are so many different body types involved. You will see skinny ladies. You will see ladies with tiny boobs. You will see ladies with big boobs. You will see ladies with, you know, a little extra padding here and there. And I think when you see someone on stage that looks like you, mm-hmm. and you see her taking her clothes off and you say, dang, that woman is sexy. And she has, you know, a little bit of back fat just like I have. And it's hot. And, you know, like, you know, and basically I think that, like, my goal in burlesque is I want my audience members to, like, go home and, like, do each other. Like, you
which
know,
is why we sell pasties at all of our shows.
Right.
But it is, I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit because I know you familiar with our bump and grind play shops.
Yeah.
But I have to lead into that because we've been doing it for a couple of years now where we teach bump and grind, glove removal, stocking removal, boa work, twerking now. I've got my Johnny Sparks offering twerking.
Okay.
But we also teach
fantastic.
Tassel twirling.
Ah.
And I have to say it is one of my favorite things that Black Diamond does. If you can imagine a room filled with 10 to 20 women who sit there and very politely listen to the genesis of Black Diamond and what burlesque history is overall, and as we lead into, okay, we're going to teach how to strut, and we're going to teach how to walk the runway, and we're going to da-da-da-da-da, and by the time we lead up to the tassel twirling, I have a room full of half-naked, amazing women that are all different shapes and sizes, and it is probably the most remarkable aspect of what I've done over this time with Black Diamond is to experience what they bring to us. We walk right. out of there so jazzed up and so excited for what they are willing to kind of let loose and enjoy. So, yeah, if they can go home and dance for their partner afterwards, all more power to all of us.
An added plus.
Have you seen some shy women come out of their shells and give you feedback and tell you how it's transformed them?
I've gotten a lot of good feedback. I get more of it. Bump and grind play shops, absolutely. But after the show, I don't know if you have a lot of people approach you after you performed. I don't strip tease, which I think, you know, we're all grateful for. But I do some comedy very, very silly, embarrassing stuff on stage. But I watch people approach my girls. I inevitably get, I really want to audition for you after a show. Very, very often. And I will audition anybody and everybody who wants to, you know, get in on this amazing ride that we're on. But I don't know. I are you getting a lot of feedback from female audience
Yes,
members?
Absolutely. I have tons of ladies who come and just say, like, oh, that was so beautiful. I used to dance when I was younger, and I would love to be, you know, be able to do that. And I always steer those ladies towards stage kittening, which is, like, kind of like the helper in between each set when the burlesque lady, they will, like, set up the props, like, put the chair in the place where the performer needs it. And then after they're done, they'll come and scoop up all the clothing. And that's, like, a good way to kind of, like, get your feet wet and sort of feel what it's like to be on stage and dress up in the sexy costume and have the cute hair and makeup, but not actually, like, take your holes off. Because that's something that's kind of hard for
some
people.
It's funny because you're making me think now, because my stage kitten I found through a bump and grind workshop that we offered.
There you go.
There you go. They're successful.
And she is a big, bold, and beautiful woman named Bunny Darling. And because we all are born with names like that.
That's right.
But it's funny because in a play shop, in a bump and grind workshop, I'll see the what I would consider super fit, you know, often a mom, be the more timid one, but the like loud and proud roller derby girl is the one who's like, I'm taking my shirt off, I'm gonna do this. So, you know, that in itself is empowering, I believe, to see sort of that non-traditional body type embrace themselves, and you witness it. But that's a lot of what we offer on stage across the board.
Right.
You know, one of our taglines is celebrating all versions of beauty. And that goes for age and size and you know, skin color as well.
Right. Great. Love it. Love embracing.
Talking more about the motherhood aspect, I think our minds and bodies are giving us kind of mixed messages that are a little confusing, and society's image of motherhood isn't making anything, you know, things easier. So sometimes it feels like we just can't win. What do you feel women struggle with, you know, the expectation to be everything for everyone?
It's a loaded question.
It's not going to answer your question. I'll tell you that up front. But, Cherry is married with 3 school-age kids. I'm single with, you know, he's an adult. He's going to be 20 years old next week, and he tours with his band. He's in the business. You know, he's out and about and doing his thing. But it is absolutely abhorrent to him that his mother does such a thing as produce a burlesque show. He is completely embarrassed by it, and he has said point blank to me, Mom, I'm really proud of what you do. I just don't want to see it. And he has been to a show, and I promised him, I said, I will not be performing. You know, it would be a great show. It was a sideshow theme, kind of carnival thing, and I had some really wild acts, Hammerhead and Bed of Nails this crazy sideshow stuff, and I thought, this is a perfect show for you to see. As a side note, that night, the getup I had on, my own father walked up to me, and I went, hey, Dad, and he blushed and turned the other way and walked away because he didn't recognize me. I'm like, who the hell did you think it was? I said Dad. I didn't say Daddy, you know, with a wink. You know? But, you know, I think that, I mean, let's be honest. Sorry, Dad. But
or Daddy.
Right? It's a funny thing where, you know, I don't know if you kind of hide it from your... You don't hide it from your kids.
I don't hide it from my kids.
But you also don't cross over into your kids' world, correct?
Good point.
I do not hide my performance. I mean, it's my job. Right. Mommy has a show tonight. Like, that's their, you know, that's their everyday life, you know. But I do hide my children from the main audience group, where it's like I'm not ashamed of doing burlesque to my children, but I want to protect my children. I don't want just like pictures of my kids
right.
hanging out in my front yard available to just any person that comes to my burlesque show.
Mm-hmm.
I protect them from that. But as far as like, you know, my kids don't come to my show. It's more of usually an adult thing.
Right.
But they know that I do burlesque. I have a pole in my home, which I practice on. And honestly, all my kids pole dance. Like every one
two
of
sons.
Them. Put a pole in your house and keep your kid off of
that's
it.
That's a good workout, good by luck. The way. Yeah. So
it's an interesting concept, too, if you think from a burlesque standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, Cherry Von Topp is a character that right. she creates and that she takes out into public and performs on a stage. When she comes home, she takes Cherry Von Topp's hat and bustier and high heels off, you know, mm-hmm. and becomes mom. And, right. you know, we all kind of have that other persona, which helps protect us a little bit. Mm-hmm. I only know you as Cherry. I don't know sure. you as your authentic persona that has three children and a husband.
Right.
So, you know, there's some protection to that, but what was the question, Abby? I can't.
We forget now. We're just talking about our own.
We're just going
to
riff.
No, that's okay. Hey, this is what it's supposed to be about, an open conversation, so we don't have to exactly. backtrack. We can just
all
keep moving
women
forward.
Should do burlesque. That is
yeah.
the...
Shake your clothes off.
We're brainwashing you right now, listeners. So if you've never seen burlesque before, this is the first time you're hearing about it. Your life is about to change.
Oh, yeah.
Let's kick over in a more general sense. Why do you think it's important for mothers to have body confidence in their own sense of sexuality, whether it's through burlesque or some other form of self-expression?
I'd say just modeling for your children. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, like I have a daughter. My daughter's 5. I want her to be confident. I want her to look in the mirror and say, I'm awesome, and, you know, I'm pretty, and, you know, I'm smart. And right. I feel like my confidence in it, you know, that I'm modeling that to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in my boys, because I have 2 boys, too, I want them to, you know, be attracted to a woman who's confident and, you know, who is...
Or a man, if that's
or
what
man,
they choose.
Or, that's right. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah. Slide that in there. Laura, what do you think? I see your wheels turning.
No, it's a really different thing when your child is older and they look at it with different eyes. I'll be honest. I don't think any child who's aware of sexuality, which, you know, we choose as parents when we sort of, you know, answer those questions. I was a big proponent of answering it early and often. But nobody wants their mom to be sexy. It's creepy. It is. But confident and smart, and the fact that I've started my own business and it's right. successful 4.5 years in, and, you know, interesting people come in and out of our lives because of it. And because my son tours with his band and is recording and all, he understands the kind of showbiz side of it a little bit more, and I think appreciates more of what I'm doing. But, you know, there's been a time or two where I'm like, I hate to bother you, babe, but can you please zip up my corset for me? I am so late, and I can't grasp it around my breasts and zip it up at the same time. And he's just mortified. But, it's all part of it.
Yeah.
I've carried his equipment many times, you know, if you
right,
know what I mean.
Right.
It really is just, I think, you know, you go back to the word feminism. It's raising children who are strong and who appreciate what their parents do across the board. So if it's a dancer and a performer, then so be it. Yeah. And I have had sure. multiple parents, you know, moms mm-hmm. in the troupe. One of my original performers, Lotta Love, was a single mom when I first hired her, and she worked for us for years. Mm-hmm. And her girls are now a little bit older, and I'd be interested to know how they would view it now
because sure.
they were quite young when we started. So,
Well, maybe there's a future show in the works. We'll go from this one show right on to the next burlesque topic on Maternally Yours, everybody. Well, you're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. When we return from a short break, we'll continue the hot mama conversation with Laura and Cherry.
programming on WSLR is made possible by support from our listeners, as well as Sarasota's midwives, who welcome babies gently and build community locally with Kathy Matthews Home Birth, Birthways Family Birth Center, and Rosemary Birthing Home.
Maiden to Mother will host a spring community mother blessing on April 12th at 3:30 p.m. A mother blessing ceremony is the modern-day interpretation of the Navajo rite of passage called the Blessing Way, and allows the modern woman to celebrate her growth along the path of pregnancy, birth, and into motherhood. No matter what your birthing plans are or what number child this is, every mother should be honored and blessed on this journey. Each expectant mama will be adorned with flowers in their hair, anointed with oils to bless their journeys. Affirmations will be shared, birth necklaces or bracelets will be created, and sisterhood candles will be made for your birthing space.
Postpartum Society of Florida invites you to a volunteer informational meeting on April 16th at 6:30 p.m. at 1958 Prospect Street in Sarasota. Gather for wine and cheese and learn about volunteer opportunities with Postpartum Society of Florida. Whether your interest is in contributing services and goods from your small business, administrative and office help, or training to become a postpartum sister/mentor for a new mom, your gifts are exactly what we need to support and strengthen families in our community.
And everybody save the date. The most fun party you can imagine, I Can of Sarasota, is hosting their annual mom prom. Burr, burr, burr. That's my own sound effect for mom prom. On April 25th at 8 p.m. We're having it here at Fogartyville Community Arts Center, 525 Comquat Court in Sarasota. So for more information, visit facebook.com/ICanOfSRQ.
Would you like us to announce the birth of a baby, a nursing milestone, or a family-friendly event? Please post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/maternallyyours, or email us at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com. And for a complete listing of Sarasota's family-friendly events, be sure to pick up your copy of Mommy Magazine, found on news racks throughout the community.
You're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. You can find this and all of our recent podcasts on our website, www.maternallyyoursradio.com, where you'll also find an epilogue, including any resources and links we mentioned in tonight's show. So we're going to continue our discussion on what it means to be a hot mama. Now, in motherhood, as we all know, your body's primary role can become entirely functional, and sexy is not usually part of it. A lot of women feel that their children, you know, we talked a little bit about nursing kind of at the top of the show. It feels like your child has greater claim to your body sometimes than you even do, or that your partner does. Have either of you ever felt this way in your nursing relationships with your children?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, like, when you have a baby and you're nursing that baby's number one. It's right. Like, you are a package deal. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, is just nature.
Right. And undeniable.
I think that the trick is to embrace that and then mix it in with the other part, which is the reason the baby is there in the first place is because of your love for each other with your partner. Aww. And it's really, really tricky to find that balance. And I think I'll speak for myself. I won't speak broadly, but that it was very easy to sort of lose myself in my child and focus purely on that. And I let pieces of my marriage fall away almost as a relief of, like, oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And I wish I had bought black lace panties and a black lace bra back then, because it's all I freaking wear now, let me tell you. But, you know, sorry, ex-husband, but, but, you know, we forget to be, you know, one of my favorite things as a mother, my favorite quote and sort of self-preservation mantra was, and I did not make it up, I read it somewhere and I stole it and I repeat it to this day, which is, apply your own oxygen mask first before assisting others.
I felt that coming from you. I was going to say, put on your mask first. Yes. Is that what you're about to say?
Because if you cannot breathe, you cannot help anyone else. Yes, and part of breathing is connecting with your partner.
Yes.
And that sacred sexual moment that you have at the end of the night when you're embracing and you're together again. It's so easy to lose that, because your kids literally and figuratively suck the life out of you.
Right.
They take from you all day long, and you're like, don't touch me. I don't want any more of that. please embrace that, and please make date nights and have reliable babysitters, or you know, steal away onto your lanai after the baby's gone to bed and create something that is special between the two of you. Because without that foundation that brought that baby into the world in the first place, there's, you know, you've got to nurture that. You've got to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
I would also add, on a completely selfish note, that bringing your partner to a burlesque show
you'll
will do wonders for your marriage.
You will get laid.
No, it's there, really, there you that's, go. That's all a little heavy, but it's a there. Really easy no, thing no. to let go of. And
right.
we don't feel sexy as mothers. We smell of sour milk and, you know, we've got Cheerios
poop,
stuck to
vomit.
Our asses. And,
oh,
you know,
my God.
I mean, come
yeah.
on. You know,
yeah.
it's not a pretty
yeah.
picture. But, you know, yep. you can, you know, what? Look at your kids. Look how much attention they get by being cute. So stay cute, you know. Be cute yeah. when you go out, because you get more attention from your husband or your partner, and you know.
Also, I feel like when I go to work, I do my show, and I come, and it's like it gives me that chance to miss my kids
mm-hmm.
and to think like, oh gosh, oh when I get
wonder
home,
what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And so when I get home, or usually, you know, they're asleep when I get home, but in the morning when they wake up, it's like, you guys.
Yeah.
Great. I've had my moment to be my, you know, kind of express myself and have my own
me
kind
time.
Of yeah. moment in the sun. Exactly. Me time.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be burlesque. It's whatever it is
yeah,
that you
absolutely
you do, you know.
Right.
And then when you're done doing that and you come back to your family, I feel like, you know, let's play Candyland. You
yeah.
know, you're recharged and you're ready to, like, you know.
Jump
instead
back
of like,
in.
Oh, you need your juice cup filled again? Like, seriously? You
right.
want more? Like yeah. another drink before?
But
you know,
because
like,
you filled yourself up a little bit the night before.
Right. Exactly.
And tolerated
that's
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
It's like it makes you appreciate what you have at home. I think when you have a moment to step away from it.
Yeah. Right. Abby?
I love what you were saying about turning it on and off. You know, I keep having the... the slogan from the Mom Jeans commercial going through my head. It's like, you're not a woman anymore. Yeah, Mom.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what we all struggle with, mm-hmm. you know? How
yeah.
do you take off the mom jeans and put on the corset?
Oh, I totally remember when my son was little looking for slip-on shoes because I didn't have time to tie anything up and I had a baby on my hip, so I needed to be able to slip into my shoes.
Right.
You know, but metaphorically, you have to slip out of them, too. And part of that is, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, maybe there's single moms listening too. They've got to then
right.
create this whole other energy, you know, for another part of their life that maybe isn't a dedicated partner that you come home to every night. There's lots of different types
yes,
of families, as
absolutely.
We all know. But yeah, embracing and honoring what it is that brought that child into the world in the first place, which is a connection with your partner, is so huge. It's so huge.
Do you think how to, you know, I know society looks at women, especially mothers, owning their sexuality. You know, a lot of people don't know how to feel about that. A lot of people have some negative commentary about that.
I don't give a damn. I'll be honest
says
with you.
Says Cherry Von Top.
Yeah. I don't give a damn it. What other people think about me. Like, I'm, you know, not to be cliche, but YOLO, you know? Like, you have one life here to live.
That's
you
right.
know, so, like, mm-hmm. you know, do what makes you feel happy. Do what makes you feel good.
Amen.
Who cares what Susie's mom thinks of you and what, you know, I don't care.
Well, what's interesting, too, and I'm completely serious that I've been wanting to work with Cherry for years, and we literally met for the first time face-to-face an hour ago. You know, she's agreed to do our show on Saturday, and we're tickled to have her, but she explained to me, and this is an interesting thing, that she was a professional ballet dancer and that lifestyle took too much of herself away from her family.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time she got into having multiple children, it was like, I can't show up at the rehearsal studio and give you, the producer, the hours that you need. So she took that and plugged it into something that worked for a family, for a mother and for some
right.
children that needed their mom to take them to school every morning and
yeah.
to be there to do homework at the end of the night. So, you know, you've really taken your passion, which is dancing, you did it professionally for years, and you've twisted it that's great. You twisted it into this pervertedness.
So naughty.
But you've created
yeah.
this other element of it that works for you.
Right, yeah, it works
for your family.
Right. Because
yeah.
I mean, you know, like I dance professionally in ballet companies. I have an equity card. I mean, I could go and audition for Broadway and be, you know, tour the, you know, all that. But when you work for a ballet company or if you're in an off-Broadway show or something, they own you. Mm-hmm. If rehearsal starts at 2 o'clock
right.
and you got to pick your kid up at 2:30, sorry. Mm-hmm. Find another way. And I just wasn't willing to, I mean, I, you know, I had these children. I want to raise them and right. I want to be, you know, the person who picks them up at school and the person who drops them off at school and who puts them to bed at night, you know, all that. And so to continue with my professional dancing career, that was just not something I could do. So I kind of stumbled into burlesque in a kind of roundabout way. I fell into it and realized, well, this is something really great because I can... You know, if my kid has a soccer game early Saturday morning and a producer calls me and says, hey, we need you Friday night to do this show and it ends at 5 a.m, I can just say, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. I'm not available. I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah.
So I can kind of do that. And it's been good because I can, you know, still do everything that I trained to do my whole life. But it doesn't kind of impinge upon my mommy time, yeah. which is nice.
Well, hey, it's more than nice, right? Because
sure, yeah,
yeah. Who being able to create your own schedule right. and make your talents and your skills work for you as an empowered woman, like that's what it's all about, man. That's you're getting me inspired over here.
Yeah, I see a bump and grind play shop in your future.
Oh boy, I am not a fan of performing, but I, you know, at home I am.
There you go.
Hey,
if this was TV and not radio, you would all see that we were being interviewed by two potential burlesque dancers.
I know. You guys have no idea. Oh. We got some hotties up in here.
Oh, man. Thank you very much, ladies. It's a compliment coming from you. Hello.
Oh, shucks.
What do you say to the mom? You know, we talked about giving your bodies over to your babies. What do you say to that mom who's feeling kind of ashamed and low on her self-esteem? What's your advice for her? How can she get her groove back?
Oh, please. I think the most important thing is to stay connected to your friends, whether they are other mother friends or mm-hmm. even family. You've got to stay connected and not isolate yourself. But at the same time, you have to give over to the fact that you are a new mom or, you know, a mom of preschool or elementary school kids. There is a massive commitment to that. You have to right. accept that. Carve out pockets of time for yourself, carve out pockets of time with your girlfriends, book clubs, you know, go out and do something crazy one night, you know, just mm-hmm. take a cab home and be safe about it. But, you know, it is simple stuff like, you know, make time for a shower in the morning, put your mascara on, even if you don't have time to do full makeup, you know, mm-hmm. feel good about yourself when you leave the house. I, you know, my kid's 20 years old, so I have no excuse for wearing the amount of yoga pants that I wear, but I do.
Comfort is the right? only excuce
but,
that's required.
You know, we're on the go, and it's, you know, but it really is about just finding those moments and, you know, honoring that within yourself and remembering what it was that, you know, brought you to that place. Just,
right.
You know, absolutely. part of it, you know, not everybody feels sexy. That's not the end all be all of what we are as women. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you plug in to an intellectual group or you plug into, you know, something that's political or community minded or all those things are stimulating in their own way.
Right. Absolutely. Cherry, what kind of advice do you have along the lines of body image for the moms who are maybe not feeling so great about themselves? What do you say? Like, what helped you? I mean, I know you were like 4 months postpartum, like, hey, milk is squirting, let's do something with this. Oh, that's fantastic. That's obviously not a typical story per se.
Right.
Sure. Although it is fantastic.
Right. Well, you know, I just think that the female form is beautiful in mm-hmm. any capacity. It's, you know, and I think a lot of women like look at themselves in the mirror with almost like a dysmorphic idea of like, oh, my butt's so big. girl, do you know how in butts are right now? Like, shut up about your big butt. Stop bragging about your big butt. I wish I had a big butt.
Uh-huh. Can we get a high five over here on this side?
I used to have a joke that I was the reverse of anorexic, that I kept getting bigger and kept thinking I looked amazing.
And you look amazing.
But it is this thing. I mean, guys like booty and guys like curves.
Do.
And you know what? Your man loves you.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
He loves the way you smell and the way your skin feels and the
how
way
you got pregnant in the first place.
Yeah. That's right. It all goes back to the source. It all returns to the source. Yes,
embrace it.
So you've got your show coming up, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us about it.
I'm really excited. It's a really unique theme. And Cherry and I were talking about this beforehand, that she's been in burlesque a long time and she's never heard of such a theme. We really try to mix it up because we've got a really dedicated audience that comes to show after show. Mm-hmm. And we really try to offer them something different each time. And part of that is a thematic angle. And part of it is guest stars that they haven't seen before. So this Saturday night, we're at the Cock and Bull Beer Garden out east. It's on Cattleman near Palmer, and it's Sarasota's original beer garden. We're going to be outside under the stars near a roaring bonfire.
Awesome.
And we are creating something called Caravan du Burlesque, which is a gypsy, mystical, vagabond, traveling show type theme. So we've got aerialists, we have fire performers, we have snake charmers, we have henna tattoo artists, we have a gypsy fortune teller on hand. It's going to be a really enriched, beautiful show. Live music. It's one of the biggest shows I've ever produced. It is quite extensive. The tickets are only available.
How can they get them?
The tickets are very affordable.
Nice job self-editing. Sorry. Really good. You caught it.
Fabulous tickets.
Yeah, so
are
good.
Available at blackdiamondburlesque.com, but it's a really affordable show for what we're offering, and it's a really cool venue. I don't know if you guys have read this, but the night coming into the show is the blood moon.
Yes, it is. So I was just going to say
that. There's going to be a lot of really cool energy in the place. Doors open at 8. The show begins at 8:30. It's about an hour and a half long show. Cock and Bull is offering food and, of course, their amazing, extensive beer collection.
Yes.
But Big Top Brewing Company is also there, and they're serving 3 specialty brews that are being made for us just for that night.
Date night this weekend.
You're outside, you're under the stars, and you're watching beautiful people do amazing things. So
that's right. So tell our listeners one more time, what's the website where they can get their tickets?
blackdiamondburlesque.com, and we have a strong Facebook presence as well, obviously at Black Diamond Burlesque, and great pictures, and you can see the lovely Cherry Von Topp featured there as a guest star. I've got a lot of cool stuff happening at this show, so we hope to see you guys there.
Awesome, ladies. Thanks so much for joining us. This weekend. Break a nail. Of course.
It's a drag queen thing, but we stole it.
I love it. Oh, that's it, everybody. For tonight's episode of Eternally Yours, as usual, we're out of time. But never fret. There's always next week. We want to thank everyone who makes the conversation possible, especially our listeners and our guests tonight, Laura Daniel Gale and Cherry Von Topp, and guest co-host, Miss Abby Weingarten.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Want to say join the conversation on April 7th as we go back to episode 34, where Laura and Carmela talk about LGBTQ parenting and the issues same-sex couples and their children face. They are joined by the president of Equality Florida, Nadine Smith, as well as Maggie Davenport, local mother of 2 and assistant executive director at Also Youth. We will also hear from other LGBT parents around the state by phone. Have a question for our hosts or guests? Please email us or post to our Facebook page.
I love me some Maggie Davenport.
Hey, whoop, whoop.
I love her.
Shout
They're
out
such
to
good
Maggie.
People.
That's right. Agreed. So up next, everybody, is going to be Hambone Willie, and he's lost in the root cellar. I think I see Roger sitting out there, too. So get ready to start slapping your knee. You can play the spoons or the washboard.
Is this bluegrass that's coming up right now?
It's a little bit of everything. You will.
That's my favorite.
It'll get you going. So playing us out tonight tonight, some sparkling diamonds for you from Moulin Rouge. So peace out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. Produced at WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station.
Our volunteer hosts, writers, and producers are Ryan Stanley, Laura Gilkey, and Dana King. You can find our most recent podcast at maternallyyoursradio.com, where you can also contact us with your comments, questions, and stories.
Until next week, we leave you with the words of Dr. Maya Angelou. When you know better, you do better. Thanks for joining the conversation.